Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends. Damn, I'm in a good mood today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How can I ruin that for you?
Happy little Wednesday here, the firm of Harris and Meringue. My name is Patrick. That is Danny Meringue to my left. Jeffrey Rust on the ones and twos back there.
He's a hoe.
Just a nice little day here. Good conversation with the Sunrise guys and our transition here. I'm in a happy mood today. I don't know why either.
Oh, good to hear.
I stayed up too late last night too. So
you're just going to crash out on me. Cool. Good to know.
Well, I hit some cafe. I have some cafe in me.
Oh, yeah?
And we're just gonna pull and pray.
Just going to go.
Just going to like give her the old college try.
I'm going to tell you right now, I told Dirt this. You know, they were wrapping up their show, and apparently Swag walked into the bathroom when I was taking a shower. And told the boys that I was taking a shower in there, and it was they were talking about it, and I could hear it in the radio in the bathroom while I'm in the shower. It is a weird thing to hear people talking about you in the shower while you're in the shower.
Do you think they were saying nice things?
I heard them. They were saying things about or asking whether or not I sing. I don't sing in the shower here, but I sing in the shower at home. Maybe I'll start singing in the shower here so nobody else comes in. Just absolutely dominate the bathroom. Just go full songbird.
Trust tree right now. I don't think you need to do that. I had to use the restroom yesterday when you were in the shower, and I turned around.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
You know, the bathroom is kind of a pretty private place.
There's a whole wall.
Yeah, I understand.
And a shower
that.
Curtain.
Yeah, I understand that. But just the thought.
That's weird.
My wife doesn't use the bathroom on the same level as me.
Really?
Really. That's probably more of a her thing than a me thing.
I will go to the bathroom with my partner in the bathroom.
Oh, no. Oh, that does not happen at the Harris residence.
Really?
Take a pee, maybe. Going number one, maybe. Number two, absolutely not.
I mean, number one's easy. Number two, yeah. That's trust tree. But I'll tell you what, if I tell you to run, run.
Look, my wife is my best friend in the entire world. She's the coolest person I ever met in my entire life, and I love hanging out with her and being with her. We ain't ever going to be there.
Really?
Nope.
Interesting.
It's probably more of a her thing than a me thing, but yeah, I respect the boundary.
Interesting. Okay.
Like I said, dude, it's just a really, really private place. Sometimes I'm taking a shower, and the wife walks in, and like, if the kids are home, like, I close all the doors, just so, you know, nobody wants to see that.
Mm.
And sometimes she'll walk in, and it, like, startles me. Because you're naked, you're more vulnerable than you've ever been.
You have shame.
I do have shame.
See, I don't.
You should see this body naked.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, don't get me wrong, my body looked like hell, but shame was beaten out of me.
Yeah, I got a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, no, I have zero. Zero.
I think it's okay to have a little shame. Oh,
I think
though.
We're all aware of that, Dan.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean,
thank you, Russ.
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, when I was, you know, in the military, when I would drink, the more alcohol you added to me, the more clothes came off. That was just a natural progression for me.
they got me all wet.
Pretty much. But yeah, no, I don't. There's apparently there's something about having to go to the bathroom in a room with 20 other dudes with no doors, no walls, no curtains, no nothing in basic training that just tears any of that wall down. It just doesn't faze me one bit.
Yeah, I don't have that. Yeah. I never.
I've never been in that. You don't ever have the lady walk in when you're in the shower and you know you instead of like panicking, you just open the door like
Well. Well, I mean, I don't kiss and tell.
Oh, come on now.
I don't kiss and tell. But if things
are
not...
I get startled, but...
If things are not frisky...
It ain't because I'm scared.
If things are not frisky, then yes, it startles me.
Okay.
And I think that's okay. I think it's okay to have a little humility.
YouTube, get the booze away from Danny Stat. Yeah, well, I don't drink and really ever, so...
And I haven't taken my clothes off in a decade.
Yeah, there you go. I will say, though, the water here, quite hard. Dries out my baby soft skin.
That's always been the kind of thing with Portland water. Yeah. It's clean, but it's hard.
Yeah. I got that nice water on the south side.
Well, the Bull Run in Portland, like when I lived in North Portland for, you know, a decade plus, I never had like a water filter system in my house, like a Brita or a fridge that did it for you, because tap water in Portland is fantastic.
From the poop-filled Willamette?
Dude, it tastes so good. I mean, it comes from Bull Run.
It's extra nutrients.
It's really good water. And then I moved to Vancouver, and there's a bunch of, like, fluoride and chlorine in it. Now, I'm not anti-fluoride like some crazy politicians might tell you, but when you can taste it, then it becomes something.
Yeah.
I don't drink tap water in the Couve.
Oh, really?
No.
So, my parents, they have a well, and it's Mount Hood runoff. And it's like, I want to say it's like 120, 140 feet deep. It's crazy. I've had to pull that pump up before. Let me tell you, pulling that freaking 40-pound pump up 100 plus feet, not fun. But it is the guy that comes out there and does the test. I think it's every year, every other year. When he comes out there, he's always excited because he's always like, this is the cleanest water I ever see. Because it has all the natural stuff from the water table and stuff like that. And it is the best tap water I've ever had.
I don't know if I've ever had well water.
Yeah.
For some reason, like, it shouldn't because I love the nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm familiar with Mama out there, and she's a wonderful, wonderful woman. But for some reason, conceptually, I don't understand it. Like, this water comes from the ground, but it's clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's all just filtered out.
Yeah, I know.
Was it the limestone and there's another stone that does it, too. I can't remember what it was. But, yeah, no, they do all of the purity tests and stuff like that. He goes, this is always the cleanest, purest, nicest water I've ever come across.
When I go, I do a big rafting trip in Idaho in late May, Memorial Day weekend.
On the Snake?
And no, I go up to the Locksaw River.
Oh, okay.
Snake's way down south. This is more up near Montana.
Gotcha.
And when you look at the water, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to drink that river water so bad.
Do you?
No, because like animals poop in it. And fish and stuff like that. But it's pure mountain runoff. But it just looks so pretty.
Yeah, it's probably really good.
Well, we boil water with it a lot.
Mm.
Makes you feel one with the nature.
Well, I mean, drinking it raw, just raw dog in the water should be, you know, make you one with nature.
There is a campsite up there that we have been staying at of late, and they had potable water.
Mm.
And our last full day there, 2/3 of the camp was sick as a dog.
Oh.
Not me. And I'm fairly convinced it is because most of those people drank that potable water.
Mm.
No one believes that. Everyone thinks that there was like norovirus going around. Mm. And I'm like, well, I ate off the same stuff as you guys. We shared bottles of liquor together. Like, I am clean as a whistle.
Yeah.
I never touched that water.
Mm.
The next year, when we went back last year, those are corked and they're no longer usable for potable water.
Oh.
Huh?
Interesting.
Huh? Boom, roasted.
Just saying.
Boom, roasted.
Just saying. Yeah, there's nothing like Mother Nature mud butt.
It's some of the worst thing in the entire world.
Yeah.
It is some of the worst thing in the entire world. Now, one thing that could have made all of them sick was the amount of liquor and fungus that was going around the evening, but I don't partake in that.
Yeah.
So I was also clean of that.
See, there you go.
So there's some common denominators here.
Yeah, I mean, what's the ayahuasca trip? Everybody says that, you know, you poop yourself quite religiously.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
Yeah, no,
I'm not doing that. I've done enough crazy stuff. Yeah, I don't need to
trip balls and crap my pants.
I have talked to God many, many times.
Yeah.
And, you know, God and I are cool. Mm. We got no beef towards each other. We don't really hang out.
Mm.
Had some nice conversations and both kind of moved on our separate ways. Because sometimes it's about how you meet God. And when you meet God in that state of affairs, sometimes God ain't so happy with you.
Yeah, well, maybe God leaning on your conscience a little bit, saying.
And then you go, oh my God, how do I make this stop?
Yeah.
And then the next 3 hours sucks really bad because you can't make it stop.
Mm.
And that, kids, is why you don't do drugs.
There you go. Simple things in life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's nice to be old. I'm so glad I'm old now.
Is it?
I'm stoked to get old, dude. I really am. Yeah, yeah. I got a great partner. My kids are on their way to being great kids. Got a good network of friends. Got some stable vacays we do every year and throw some middle ones in there. I got a nice job. My wife likes her job.
I'm still figuring stuff out.
That's all right. You know,
it's a little bit of a hard reset.
You know, as the good Jeebus would say, we all take our own paths.
There you go.
And I think old man Patrick is going to be one of two things.
Mm.
Really awesome. Or really terrible.
There you go.
And I'm kind of excited to find out.
Well, we confirmed yesterday that you're a terrible person, so.
No, just when it comes to sharing responsibility of DDs. Outside of that, I'm pretty
nice. I think we could have just dropped the DDs off that. Just sharing responsibility.
Oh, but I take accountability.
Oh, afterwards. There you go.
I always take accountability of anything. If I've messed up.
Oh, yeah.
If I've messed up, I'm more than willing to share that I have messed up.
Oh, yeah. No, that's look, when it comes to that, that's probably one of the things that I do best with. It's like, I've made a metric crap ton of mistakes, but I'll own all of them. You know, when you don't, man, it's just like, but why?
It's the most important thing
but
in the
why?
World. It's the most important thing in the world. I tell my kids this all the time. It is okay to make a mistake. It's okay to screw up. You just can't do that screw up multiple times.
We talk
about anytime
this.
You fail, you have the opportunity to learn something.
Yeah, no, that's when you learn the most. You don't learn when you succeed. You learn when you fail. We talked about this a little bit off air. The USC reporter issued his apology for the comment question to Lincoln Riley.
His quote unquote apology?
Yeah. And it was, I'm sorry, but. So it's like, just throw the I'm sorry. It's like, and then he listed out like six paragraphs of why he did what he did. It's like, dog, just say you're sorry. My bad.
Dude, it's why people don't like Lane Kiffin. He's like, yeah, I know it's a tough choice to take LSU, but I wanted to be there for everybody.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let me.
Mm.
Despite me telling them I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Ifs and buts. Candies and nuts. Oakley Duckley.
It's a weird spot to be.
We got a great show for you today. A lot of college football on the slate today, but we will dabble in some NBA stuff as well. Boy, the drama's getting nice over there. We'll talk a little bit about your new head coach at Oregon State, the college football playoff. We'll have Tyson Alger on at 10:30, as we always do on Wednesday, but we'll start, as we're starting to put a bow on college football season, as we're getting into the bowl season and the playoff, mostly when it pertains to the Oregon Ducks and maybe the B1G in itself, where we were versus how we got here. We'll have a nice, fun conversation about that. Danny Morang here with you. I'm Patrick Harris, 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hi, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. year, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
1017 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live, baby, as we always are, from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326. That's the fan text line. She'll let you interact with us throughout the entire show. YouTube.com/1051TheFan lets you see our ugly mugs. My Charlie Brown Christmas tree is still alive. Very stoked about that. There's also a little chat feature over there that you can hang out with us and say silly things, as we're always getting wild over there. There's a lot to get to on today's program. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll get to some NBA drama. WebGems is a banger today. We'll talk a little Blazers later on today, and we'll also take a peek at our B1G picks and how they turned out. Because I think we were damn close. I wonder what we would have made if we put that in a parlay and hit it.
I mean,
probably would have been pretty good.
Pretty decent.
Pretty decent. I think I only missed one. You think you only missed one?
I know I only missed one.
Okay, we'll go through that in the 11 o'clock hour. But that's kind of where we'll start here. The B1G and kind of the B1G as whole, but also the Oregon Ducks and how they fit in. I thought this year was a really telling, kind of fun year for the B1G and how we kind of perceive this conference. The SEC always reigns king, and a lot of that is kind of media biases, and some of that is true. You know, if Georgia wins a national championship this year, am I shocked? Absolutely not. I'd be maybe a little more surprised if an Ole Miss or a Bama were to win, but not shocked, because the SEC is a great conference. But I think when we look back at the Big Ten this year, I think we will remember that this conference was a lot better than perceived, and I think this conference was a lot better than predicted.
Yeah, and I had this thought, and I've been trying to think of where I could work this in, and it pertains to the conference at large, but almost, we talked about this the other day about how much the playoff has changed teams-wise. You know, mm-hmm. We're only returning, what, five? Only five, so almost half of them. But in that context of what you're talking about and how the conference is viewed, there's an opportunity here for the opposite to happen this year for Oregon. Ohio State was a buzzsaw that wasn't really tested throughout the year, with the exception of one game. Now, Oregon-Ohio State last year was obviously a much bigger game. Mm-hmm.
Happened so early in the year that they were just two completely different teams by the time they replayed.
But now Ohio State's going to have to do what Oregon did last year, mm-hmm. which is go to a conference championship game.
Which they will be favored to win.
And then have a bye.
A month bye. Well, three-week bye.
Oregon will have to play in the opening round. They won't play in the conference championship game, just like Ohio State last year.
And you could maybe argue that Oregon is playing their best football right now. A lot of good tests. Iowa was a gritty win.
You finished with three of four teams in the top 25.
Iowa was a gritty defensive line mm-hmm. battle. USC was a star-studded receiving mm-hmm. battle. UW is a rivalry with a mobile quarterback. Yep. Another elite wide receiver in Boston. I think you bring up a great, great point there. I also think when you look around the B1G, these teams are not getting enough credit as they are. Now, I know it's easy to kind of poop on like SC because they have such higher expectations than what they've delivered this year.
It's kind of funny. They're 9-3 and it's like,
and I think, hey guys. I think a lot of it is because they're way outside the playoff looking in, like they got no shot. I think that's kind of why it skews that way. But I saw this stat that the SEC has no team that has 6+ wins against a bowl eligible team. Mm-hmm. The Big Ten has 4.
Yep.
Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon, USC. Mm-hmm. And while nobody ever wants to have the conversation, this is what I used to bang on about the Pac-12 all the time. Nobody wants to have the conversation about what the bottom of your conference looks
no.
like. Nobody ever wants to talk about that. The bottom of the Big Ten, not a fun place.
Dog water.
Not a fun place. I would argue that maybe for the first time, SEC has some good teams at the bottom.
I mean,
South Carolina has talent.
Yeah. Do you want to play Mississippi State?
I sure do not, especially not in Starksville.
No. Like, the bottom of that conference is pretty damn good.
But if Wazoo were playing Purdue on the road, I might feel pretty good about that.
Right.
So the bottom of the B1G is not great. But if we're not going to think about that, how is the top of the Big Ten not better than the top of the SEC?
Well, we're going to find out. That's the great thing about this college football playoff. We're going to find out.
And I think...
Genuinely, my bias here, I want Indiana to go into that college football playoff and dog walk everybody.
Just kind of smack people in just the face?
Including Ohio State. Just be like, oh, you think this is sweet? You think it's cute? Watch this. This is how it's done. And then all of a sudden, where are the last three national titles from?
That would be the Big Ten.
Three different schools.
Three different schools, and you still have Oregon, who hasn't got theirs, but if I were a betting man, I'd say they get one in the next 5 years, if not the next 3 years. Mm. And so, yeah, you would have four in the last seven are all from the big B1G.
And they're different schools?
Yeah, and I think Oregon is a great call on this because, look, they came into the year with a lot of unknowns.
There's a lot of unknowns.
The over-under in Vegas was 10.5. But I also think a lot of that is that the B1G was viewed as not being very good.
Yeah. And remember, the games on their schedule that everybody looked at, two games, Penn State, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And in Indiana was like, well, maybe, we don't really know. Because I remember right, I think Oregon was favored against Indiana coming into the season.
You were the only person I know in my world that was really, really pro-Indiana this mm-hmm. year. I was like, we'll see. Last year was fun, but they showed they weren't really ready for it. I don't know. They have every much looked the part. They might have a Heisman Trophy winner. By the way, side note, did you see Pavia is now equal Vegas odds with Mendoza?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
The marketing has come in on the SEC.
Hey, that lawyer money at Vandy, it hits good.
Pretty nice. But they were still favored to looked at to win 10.5 mm-hmm. games. Now
that was the most comfortable over I took this season for me.
Now, I don't think anybody expected Oregon to look as good as they have this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody expected Indiana to look as good as they have mm-hmm. this year. I think a lot of people expected USC to win 7 games, yep. not 9 games. So there's a lot of let's make sure we take a look around. Look, the SEC, I don't remember if they're still ranked or not. The SEC has two teams that are ranked that haven't beat a team over 500 yeah. in Tennessee and Missouri.
Yeah.
Like, cool, it just means more down here, but like no one's
also,
afraid of
you.
Also,
we don't play anybody.
Yeah.
But we play each other. Chattanooga State.
Do you? Because Texas A&M didn't play any of you guys.
Citadel.
This is what I bang on with the Pac-12 all the time, dude. Pac-12 top to bottom was deep.
Yeah, it was.
It was super deep.
But, you know, we get that college football playoff bracket that comes out, and there were certainly some surprises in there. But, you know, Oregon being right there is certainly one of those things that you look at and you go, okay, they got the bump. They got the love. Greg looking for his keys.
I don't think they're in here.
Careful for the computer there. It'll hurt. But, yeah, no, it's one of those things where there's the devaluing of the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
They're still trying to shoehorn Texas in there. They're trying to set it up for Notre Dame to somehow be in there, despite not playing. They're setting it up for Alabama. Did you see Chris Fowler talk about that? About like the way he was like, well, you know, Alabama. I was like, interesting. Like even if Alabama wins, or excuse me, even if Alabama loses, unless they get blown out, they're in. Even though they're there, the way that they did it was just like, I think they're going to be there. And they did the same with Miami. And there's like the devaluing of everyone else but the SEC.
Yeah, and that's really strange. And
is it?
No, it's not. Because
where's the show being hosted?
I know. It's the media bias, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's like, say they put in Ole Miss, A&M, Georgia, Bama, okay? Those four teams go in. What if they all lose their first game?
It'd be very funny.
It would just kind of show that maybe that conference was kind of propped up a little bit.
I mean, who is, like, for me, the obviously the best team in the SEC is Georgia.
For me, it's not even close. Yeah. And yes, they lost to Alabama, and I think they beat them again. I think they beat them in the SEC title game. I don't think they lose again.
Because Bama's flawed. They can't run the ball without Jam Miller. They can't stop the run.
Dude, they kind of can't run the ball with Jam.
Yeah, I know, but without Jam, it's kind of like, what are we doing here?
Simpson showing some flaws.
Yeah, and then, you know, you take a look at everybody else. I mean, A&M kind of choking on it against Texas. And it gets a rivalry game, so you kind of...
That's two bad games in a week, in a row.
And that, it's, you know, we give them the benefit of the doubt in the sense that it's a quote-unquote complete team because they've got great wide receivers, they've got a good running back, they've got a good offensive line, they've got a good defense. But Marcel Reed, if he does the thing where he goes and completely short circuits, that falls apart. And, you know, there's been a little bit of a groundswell around Arch getting better. Is he better? Yeah, but like...
For sure. He's a lot better.
But the bar was the floor.
Yeah, fair.
His first couple games, he was a tire fire.
Sam Houston State was not a good look.
It's like, what is happening here? So Georgia's the only team, and they aren't without flaws, but they're the only team in the SEC where I go, yeah, there's not you can really poke at it flaw. Where I call me crazy. I look at Indiana, they don't have any flaws.
This just creeped into my brain. Let's take the 4-4, four best quarterbacks from each conference.
Okay.
You tell me who you want. Marcel Reed, Trinidad Chambliss, Ty Simpson, Gunnar Stockton. Or I give you Julian Sayin, Fernando Mendoza, Dante Moore, and Jade Maiava.
Big Ten.
It's not even close.
No.
It's not even close. In Big Ten, I thought they just run the football and play offensive line.
No, Sayin, I'm still waiting to see because his defense is so good, and I'm not holding it against him. Like, I haven't seen him win a game.
Sure. They have the easiest path.
Yes. Mendoza, we know what he can do.
Very much so.
Dante.
I've seen the glimpses of Dante, and boy, the glimpses are superstar.
If I'm ranking the quarterbacks of, like, win me a game today.
You're going to put him at 4. I know you are.
No, I put him at 3.
Okay.
I put Sayin 4.
Oh, okay.
I would go Mendoza, Maiava, Dante, Sayin. If, like, who I trust.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen Dante make some incredible throws. I've seen Maiava just do insane things.
I've also seen Maiava walk into Eugene and get kind of taken advantage of a little bit.
I mean, he threw the ball all over the field.
Kind of.
I mean, he threw the ball over the field. He would have thrown for 450 yards if the pass interference calls
I should have never gone to that game. I should have just watched it on TV.
Mm.
Going to a game and then trying to, like, break it down is so difficult.
Yeah.
Especially I'm in the end zone. Mm. That's why when I go to a soccer game, I want to sit at the 50-yard line on TV side.
Yeah, look, I was a little higher up, you know, by the press box, but I think it was like the 35, 40-yard line, so I had nice...
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, it was great. I could see the whole field.
All right, we'll have
especially a punt return that got taken back.
We'll have Tyson Alger come on the show, as we always do. We'll chat a little bit, a recap of the UW game. Plus, it's National Signing Day. What's he got for us in store? Tosh LePoy, Will Stein. A lot of movement going on with Tyson Alger, so we'll chat with him next. But first, we'll toss it to Rusty with sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different.
try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
All right, we do this every single Wednesday at 10:30 during the football season. Our good friend Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor, Lookout Eugene Springfield, joins us. Chat a little Ducks football. Tyson, I hope you had a great holiday weekend. Thanks, as always, for being with us.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you.
Let's get right into it. Let's put a little bow on Rivalry Week, and then we'll get into the bigger stories surrounding Oregon this week, whether it's the playoff, coordinators going, recruiting day, et cetera, et cetera. This game go a little bit the way you kind of expected it to? Was there anything that really surprised you in a negative or a positive way?
It kind of went par for the course. Like I thought Washington actually wasn't that bad in this game. Like, they got a fair amount of yards on Oregon's defense, but I was just impressed with the way that Oregon kind of clutched up in this game. If you kind of look at like third down conversions and just red zone percentage, I thought just the balance of Oregon, and then also being able to like find an explosion play when they needed it there at the start of the fourth quarter with Malik Benson. So, considering the Ducks were still down to four scholarship receivers, Janoris Wilson was still out on the defensive line, you're playing on the road, there's a lot on the line. I thought it was a pretty impressive win for the Ducks, and I think that one felt pretty good for them. I was down on the field for like the last 5 minutes of the game, and by then it was mostly just Oregon fans in the stands, and they really turned that into a place where really all you could hear was "Let's go Ducks" in Husky Stadium there at the end. So I think they'll take that one.
That always feels real nice when you're in an opposing stadium and you're like, hey, losers.
You just love that about the Huskies. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I hate the Huskies. I'm not even a Duck fan.
I mean, my favorite part of it, I was standing next to the Duck mascot, and you know, he was trying to morph his hand into like the Dubs Down thing, but couldn't quite do it on his own. So he had another cheerleader there, like adjusting his mitten to get it right. And then it was just like 20 minutes of pictures for him doing the Dubs Down. So just nice scenery.
Tyson, it finally happened. The Disruptives. Sacks, TFLs, interceptions, all coming together in one game. How does old Dan Lanning feel about his defense and not just getting the bend don't break defense, but getting the disruptives and all the things that kind of came out of that game?
Yeah, they really set the tone in this one. I mean, you saw big plays from the big name players that we've been talking about, whether it's Mateo or Tatum or Dylan Thienemann getting another kind of game clinching interception there at the end. This was a disruptive Oregon defense, and it was really important on the road, and especially as you're kind of going into a break here. I just think that's kind of like the one piece of the puzzle that we were waiting to see pop. And it really happened, especially when you're playing against a quarterback who had been as efficient and kind of dynamic as Damon Williams Jr. had been. You can look at the sack totals, but the overall hurry numbers were really impressive too. The Ducks were basically living in their backfield that entire game. So that was really impressive. One of my favorite parts of the game, and it wasn't even necessarily a positive play for the Ducks, but just when Thienemann popped that receiver coming through the middle. And that's one of the hardest hits I think I've ever seen in person. And the most impressive thing was the dude got right back up. And I asked Dylan afterwards, and I was like, was that surprising? He's like, yeah, I thought I hit him pretty good.
It was so loud on TV, dude. It was so loud on TV. Like, it felt like there was a microphone next to that tackle.
You get so conditioned, especially like when you cover college football, and this has been my Saturdays for the last 15 years or so. You get so used to just seeing collisions that are just normally like so destructive that when one does like really pop out, it's like, oh man, like that must have been something. And yeah, that was a collision.
Now, I know old coach Dan Lanning is never satisfied with how his team's playing, but coming out of this, considering the gauntlet of the run near the end of the season, is this going into a playoff? Look, they've booked a ticket to the college football playoff. Is this the best they're playing all year? Is there another level, or is this the Oregon team we should expect going into the playoff?
I mean, that's the hard thing to judge, and that's a question that I asked Dan after the game, too, is, you know, like, we're 12 games into the season, and I feel like each week we've still been talking about, like, how good is this team really? But at the end of the day, they're 11-1. They lost one Big Ten game to the number two team in the country. Like, this is a really good football team, but, like, I still feel like we haven't seen, you know, what this team looks like at 100%. You know, you can look back at the first month of the season and some of the offensive numbers they put up, but that was against relatively weaker competition. And as things got harder, you know, maybe some of those numbers came down, but that's as you were starting to get to the attrition of the roster. And I've just been continually impressed by not only Oregon's way to, like, grind out wins, but just kind of the variety and ways they've been able to do it. We saw them rely on the run game for 3 to 4 weeks. We saw them rely on Dante Moore and just kind of some big time passes. And we just saw a host of guys on the depth chart that we weren't expecting to really even play this season have to step up and make some incredible plays. So, going into the playoffs, I think this is probably the best Lanning's felt about a team just in terms of, like, what he's been getting out of every player. But, like, I still don't know the ceiling of this group because, you know, two, three weeks from now when they're going to be playing again, like, you know, what's it look like when you get DeCorian Moore back when he, before his injury, was the best receiver on the team? What do you get when Gary Bryant Jr. comes back, who has been just a very reliable slot guy and had been featured on punt and kick returns? But you've also seen, like, the rise of Malik Benson turn into just probably one of the best playmaking, important go out and get it guys that the Ducks have had in quite some time, whether it's some of those receptions or the kickoff return against USC. The punt return against USC. So, I don't know if this team is necessarily, like, better than the one that was 12-0 going into the Big Ten championship game last year. But in terms of just, like, what they've overcome and what they've shown and just kind of the grit and integrity of this team, I think this is a really, really solid group.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. Go check out his stuff. It's always great stuff. We love having you on. We'll put a pin in this, take a quick commercial break. We come back. Let's talk a little. It's National Signing Day. Got coordinators on the move. College football playoff for an off week. It feels like a very, very busy week for Oregon. So we'll get into that. Stick with us. This is The Firm, 105.1 The Fan. As we always do on a Wednesday, Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield joins us to talk a little Oregon Ducks. Still on the line. Thanks, buddy, as always. Let's get right into this. Today is National Recruiting Day. This is going to be kind of a long-winded question, so take your time and however you want to answer it. Where does Oregon sit in National Recruiting Day, and what are the kind of craziness that Lanning has to maneuver with Stein officially at Kentucky and counting down the seconds for LaPoy at Cal, coordinators on the move, recruiting, playoff? What is the tempo, the heartbeat of inside that Ducks room right now?
Yeah, like, this was supposed to be an easy week, right? Like,
right.
You don't make the Big Ten championship game. You don't have to fly out to Indianapolis. You don't have to gear up to face an Indiana team. Like, you know, kick the legs out and take some time off, right? I think one, the Ducks were expecting this a little bit. I mean, you've had Will Stein for 3 years. You've had Tosh Lupoi for 4 years. They've both been pretty darn good at their jobs for a team that has a high profile. We all know that they kind of want to be head coaches. So I don't think that this was unexpected. I do think that, you know, kind of getting the double barrel of kind of losing them in successive days makes for a pretty headline packed week. It'll be fun talking to Lanning today at his 4 p.m. press conference just to see, like, how they're sifting through all of that. But then, you know, you have a signing day on top of all of that. And I know signing day is kind of turned into maybe not quite as big of a day as it was in the past before the transfer portal and NIL and everything got involved there. But if you look at Oregon's class, I think right now they've signed 21 guys. The class is number two in the country behind USC. It's impressive. Like, it's
Tyson, can you say that for me again?
Oh yeah, I believe Oregon's recruiting class right now is number two in the country. Okay. after the two more recruits that they added to their class today. I believe 21 players have signed. They're right behind USC in terms of national recruiting rankings. Like they're right where they need to be. And, you know, while we do pay way more attention to transfers and kind of the sure things that come in, I do think that this year has shown just how beneficial continuing to pad those top five recruiting classes can be just with the depth that Oregon showcased this year. So yes, a very, very busy week for the Ducks, but it's been another stellar recruiting cycle for Dan Lanning and his team. Losing a guy like Lupoi, who has been just a monster on the recruiting trail, will be kind of tough to overcome. But we're also in an era right now where I think the really good recruiters have lost just a little bit of their edge when you're able to just throw money at guys. So I think it's kind of business as usual for the Ducks while losing a fair amount of continuity with those coordinators as well.
Tyson, in that same vein, I'm going to follow this up with another question, completely unrelated, but you kind of pulled something out there that I want to hit here. A lot of times when coaches go somewhere, whether it be head coaches or even coordinators, they peel off a couple of guys. Is Oregon looking at losing, you know, with Will Stein going to Kentucky, is he going to peel off one of the quarterbacks, which actually might help Oregon in a sense with their quarterback room going forward? Does Lupoi peel off one of the defensive guys, one of his guys? You know, you'll see those, you know, Shepherd at Oregon State's going to peel probably a couple guys off of Alabama that are a little bit further down the depth chart to Oregon State. Like, does this almost help clean some things up for Oregon in a sense?
Yeah, it very well could. I mean, like the benefit that Oregon has is like, yeah, it stinks to lose both of your coordinators to head coaching positions, but it's not like either of these guys are going to like an Ohio State or somebody that's actually going to be a direct day-to-day competitor for them in terms of recruits. I think Kentucky might have a little bit higher ceiling than Cal does, but you know, when you look at like Stein, the Ducks have a ton of quarterbacks in their room right now, and he's built a relationship with several of those for, you know, three years now. And so whether it be like an Austin Novosad or a Luke Moga or, you know, potentially some of the guys that they were looking at on the recruiting trail this year, like, yeah, like those connections are important. And like, I'm sure you might have one or two on either side of the ball that eventually follow those coaches. But at the end of the day, like these aren't going to be like the cream of the crop players that you're going to be losing because of, you know, Oregon's Oregon at this point. And there's a reason why Cal and Kentucky are both filling their positions.
All right. Grand scheme question. You know, Harris and I were kind of going through this, and this has kind of been sitting in my head for the last couple of days. Oregon and Ohio State over the last 2 years are kind of flipping positions in that last year, Ohio State, you know, they lose to Oregon, they lose to Michigan. Everybody's all these questions around them. They have the quote-unquote harder path in the sense of having to play in the opening round, not playing in the conference title game, and then having what, you know, is supposed to be a more difficult path. But they're playing their best football at the end of the year. Meanwhile, Oregon this year is going to go and not play a conference title game. They're going to play in that early game, and they appear to be playing some of the most best and complete football they've played this season. When you look at how they close, they've got three of the final four games. You give Iowa, USC, Washington, three top 25 teams that all present very different challenges and could potentially prepare them going into the playoff better than they were last year. Do you look at it that way? Is that things, even though this team might not, quote unquote, be as good record-wise, that they're better prepared going into the playoff than they were last year?
Yeah, I think you can definitely make that argument. Like this team's definitely fought through more adversity. I mean, nobody's going to like look at last year's 13-0 before going into the playoffs and say like, oh boy, like we really screwed that up. Like Oregon was pretty proud of that, and they have that Big Ten championship trophy displayed pretty nicely in the Hatfield Allen Complex. But you know, they were able to get essentially 3 to 4 weeks in a row of you got to win this to keep your season alive. So I think they've been tested in ways that they weren't last year. I think they've obviously fought through a lot more adversity when it comes to guys having to step up and replace guys who have been injured. Getting, you know, if you get like a Tulane, which I believe is what it's kind of projected out to right now, if you get a Tulane at home for a playoff game before you have to jump into either the Orange or Cotton Bowl and you're able to get like DeCorian Moore some reps and have him shake off the rust, and same thing with Gary Bryant Jr. Like, yeah, I think the Ducks can work with that. I think we saw last year just what rust can do to you, especially when you're going up against a team such as an Ohio State. I think there's still a bit of a difference between Oregon and Ohio State last year. I think Ohio State last year, despite those two losses, was one of the higher ceiling teams that I've seen in quite some time. And you saw that in the playoffs. I still don't know where Oregon's ceiling is, as we've talked about. Like it's really hard to tell when you could be getting an infusion of two of their better receivers back onto the roster. But in terms of being able to get tested while also getting healthy. Like, I really do like the way that the season has ended for them. And yeah, like, there really should be no excuses going into this playoff run.
It's Tyson Alger from the I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield joins us on Wednesdays to talk Oregon Duck football. You kind of answered my question there, that I believe that Oregon would honestly rather play a game at Autzen instead of sitting off for a long period of time just to keep things warm. And like you said, the mention of getting some guys healthy and some reps. But indulge me on this. If they do end up staying in the five seed, and I know we're probably not there yet because probably don't need to do a ton of work on something that might not happen, but the three teams that could sneak in that spot, Tulane, North Texas, James Madison, of the three teams, the one that I love the most is North Texas. By a lot of metrics, they have the number one offense in the nation. Is there a team you'd want to see them play or not want to see them play if it stays pat here and they take on a G5?
Yeah. I don't know, guys.
These teams are so hard to read and follow.
Yeah, well, and it's just, you know, you bring up the North Texas offense thing, and like, that's legit, but also it's legit against the competition that they face, right, too. So it's hard to forecast how that would, you know, play out on a road game against Oregon defense that's as good as an Oregon defense as we've seen in a few years. So it's kind of hard to project that one out. I like Tulane would just be interesting because we could do like the whole like, both teams have flourished without the use of Mekhi Hughes in the backfield. Yeah, I mean, like ultimately that, like any of those matchups would be fascinating just because Oregon's going to be a massive, massive, massive favorite in those games. And, you know, this is supposed to be kind of like that cakewalk before you get into the next round. And, you know, there's pressure that comes with that. So I would be intrigued by any of those, but I also, you know, I wouldn't be picking either of those or any three of those teams to be within 10 points of the Ducks in a playoff game.
Now, just for fun, a little thing. I know I'm adding an extra one. A little thing just for funsies. I know we're looking ahead too far and we don't know how it'll play out with conference championship week. If the four top seeds remain the same in some crazy way, Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, Texas Tech, is there a team there that you want absolutely no business with? Because my question kind of stems from, like, we don't really know who the best team in college football is. Like, there's so many unknowns in this season specifically.
I mean, like, take Ohio State, for instance. Like, that's kind of the big measure of their season is, like, outside of, like, week one against Texas. Like, when has this team really been tested? But at the same time, like, they've just looked great every week. You know, it's... I think that team still has such a, like a top end that like I wouldn't want to see them until, you know, the last possible moment. But in terms of what I would like to see, I would love to see like an Oregon Georgia or Oregon. If we could somehow get an Oregon Miami, like I'm all in for those storylines. I could write stories for weeks off of that thing.
Well, speaking of that, what are you writing this week? Go ahead, pump the brand.
I am going to Oregon State women's basketball tonight. So we'll be having a report off of that rivalry match. They haven't played in a year. Both teams are really good this season. So we'll have a little something from that. And then, yeah, we're going to hit up Lanning's 4 p.m. presser today and kind of do a deep dive on where the Ducks stand with not only their recruiting class, but they have some spots to fill on the coaching staff. So we'll kind of do a deep dive on that.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. Go find his stuff. It's always great work. We are always thankful to have you on our program, Tyson. Thanks, and we'll catch up next week, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Okay, great. We'll catch you next week. Thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys. Bye.
That is Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. Like I said, joins us every Wednesday to talk Oregon Ducks. We come back loaded hour number deuce. We got a little NFL to get to. We'll check our B1G picks, how they turned out. Web Gems is a banger, but we'll start with some heavy drama in L.A. in the drama league of all drama leagues, the NBA. Hmm. That's next on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.